Belinda and Penguin Random House Australia present this unabridged recording of The Devil's Work, written by Gary Linnell and read by Peter Phelps. He cradled the dead body in his hands. It was such a beautiful thing. Death was a brazen thief that stole the warmth from his victims while he watched. But it never took everything. It still left enough to touch and gently stroke and remind him how majestic a corpse could be. Long after its heart had stopped pounding and its limbs had stiffened and its blood had clotted and turned cold. Besides, he was skilled in removing all traces of death's touch, for he was a man who took pride in restoring his victims to life. So patient was he, so precise. He could take a body twisted and frozen and bent out of shape, all matted with blood and bone fragments. Within a short time, it would be cleaned and propped up so lifelike, so alive, you were sure its eyes were gleaming and its chest about to rise with newly found breath. Who knew why he enjoyed doing this so much, or why it had become such a passion? Perhaps it offered a kind of redemption, a way to pay back the universe for all the killing. Perhaps that is why he took so much care. For once the grisly business of extinguishing life was over, he became gentle with his victims, almost loving. He put the body down carefully and picked up a knife from his bench. It was sharp and his hand was steady. He had done this many times in many parts of the world. He knew exactly where to make the first incision. He knew how to flay the skin, to peel it to one side, to expertly cut through all the bone and cartilage and tendons before removing the eyes and cleverly adjusting the head to a more pleasing angle. There were other things he could be doing, of course. There was always more work to be done. But the body in front of him had been dead for more than 12 hours, and he never liked it decaying for too long. There was also no point going outside. It was just after breakfast on Saturday morning, 21 May, 1892. A storm had come roaring across Port Phillip Bay in the southern Australian city of Melbourne. He could hear the wild banshee scream of the wind hammering on doors and slamming against windows. Gobs of rain, heavy, leaden, pounded the roof. His rented home, perched on a corner lot on an exposed hilltop, was almost sobbing, its timber frame groaning and sighing like an arthritic old man. In the front yard, two pomegranate trees had surrendered the last of their fruit. No real loss. He did not care for their red seeds and crimson pulp. He was a man of simple tastes and thought the pomegranate's edible qualities overrated. He preferred something less flamboyant, like the orchard in the backyard with its promise, sadly unfulfilled in recent months, of fragrant lemons and plump pears and twisted ropey vines sagging with grapes. He concentrated on the task before him. He squinted through small, wire-framed spectacles perched high on his nose. His forehead, ringed by a receding hairline, was furrowed. He could have been a bank clerk methodically counting pennies. He made his first incision, a preliminary cut next to the breast. But as he pulled the knife away to study its progress, he heard a bell, a faint ringing almost suffocated by the ferocity of the storm. Someone was at the front door. In this weather?